Good evening. It's always a privilege and an honor to be in the house of God and to be asked to speak on top of that. So it's a special blessing for me, and I hope that you can tolerate me tonight. I'm going to be talking about the one of the touchiest subjects in my life. And I hope that by the time we get through these commandments, it'll make a difference in your life. I mean, the most convicting thing for me, in the most life-changing, if you will, is after preaching through the Ten Commandments. And it's something that you don't hear a lot about anymore. When I was a kid, you'd go to my grandmother's house, and even though she wasn't much of a churchgoer, there would be the Ten Commandments. You'd go to my uncle's house, and there would be the Ten Commandments. And you'd go to my, you know, different relatives, and they would have the Ten Commandments posted somewhere, usually in the kitchen, or, you know, sometimes in the living room or dining room. But somewhere where their family would be looking at it all the time. And, you know, I'm not putting down anybody and judging anybody, but I don't see that anymore. You know, I was under such conviction at the time that we put it on our webpage, the Ten Commandments. And so, you know, for me, I hope that you get the passion from these commandments through scripture. We find the Ten Commandments play out all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. And so we're going to be in the book of Exodus mostly, but we're going to be kind of all over the place. But let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our holy God, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as I bring the message that you've laid upon my heart a long time ago, and Lord, as I studied for this and as I prepared for this, I pray that you would touch the heart of those that are going to hear this message, as well as you have mine already during this study. Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray. Guide and direct in the services tonight. In Christ's holy name, amen. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 20. When I do switch, I've got my Bible marked, so I'll give you a little bit of time to get to some of the other passages as we go. And some of them I've written down. I'm going to be using a lot of scripture tonight. We're on commandment number 2. And commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so in those few short verses, there's a lot of meat there. And I'm not going to get to all of it this week. It'll be a two-part, maybe even a three-part message, because there's so much here. And I want to say this: if you're paying attention, I want you to take notice that he brings iniquity on the children under the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Who are those that hate him? It comes in the commandment that thou shalt not have any graven images. Any false gods. God takes an offense to that. And so I'm gonna focus on the part of this of these scriptures, of the few words, any graven image. Any graven image. See, I believe that commandment 1 and 2 are interwoven and can't be separated. And when you study this out, you're going to find it to be so. Because it's impossible to have God in his rightful position if you have idols in your life. It's impossible. Isaiah said that he saw God high and lifted up. Isaiah had God in his rightful position. And that's how we should be seeing God, high and lifted up. God said, I am. Commandment number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I also believe that these commandments reveal God to us and who he is. It really does. When you look at it and you search, God is telling us a lot about himself in these 10 commandments. The first 4 commandments are specifically how to worship God. Your relationship with God. And the following 6 is all about your relationship with mankind. Graven images. Any physical thing that someone bows down to and worships. That's a graven image. In Daniel chapter 3 in verse 1 through 6, I'm going to turn there, invite you over there. I don't know if I have that one marked. And I'll be mad at myself if I don't, because there we go. I do have it marked. Daniel chapter 3. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it upon the plains of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to dedicate, to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the prince, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image and Nebuchadnezzar, the king that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had said. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, Duclimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now I want you to take note there that worshiping the image was surrounded by all kinds of loud music. That's not by coincidence. And so when we have gone through our phases in life, some of us, and you look back, I find it insulting that if you take and turn the sound off on your TV, and you put a rock concert up and a Christian concert up side by side, you won't be able to tell me which one's rock and roll and which one's Christian concert. Think about that. And if you turn it up loud enough, you won't be able to tell the difference in the music. Now, I'm not here to pick on the music. That's not time to do that. But That type of music always comes with false worship. Yeah. You can slice and dice it any way you want. You see, we should never make an image with the intent that it should be a god or worshipped. And now a lot of people will leave this here. It just dumbfounds me, and I just can't fathom how we as believers would bow down and worship an image. Oh, don't worry, Lord, that ain't never going to happen. Got that one taken care of. Mark that commandment off the list. Let's look deeper into what he's saying and what in details here of what worshiping idols really is and what comes along with it. Matthew Henry says this about chapter 20, verse 3 through 11. The first four of the Ten Commandments, commonly called the first table, tell our duty to God. The second commandment refers to the worship we are to render to the Lord our God. All kinds of superstitions are here forbidden, and the user of mere human inventions in the worship of God. Now I want to say that part again, and using of mere human inventions in the worship of God. That's not me. That's another commentary. That's another writer. Somebody that, you know, I do read. I do go to Matthew Henry quite a bit. I don't always agree with him. And I guarantee you, he would never always agree with me. but he is a good commentary. He's a good source of, you know, to refer to. And so let's take a quick look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 through 23. I don't think I marked this one. I could find Romans pretty quick. For some reason, those... Yeah, one is at the beginning of Romans. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." You see, in verse 20, God's eternal power in Godhead is revealed in the creation. God has revealed himself to every human being through his creation, right? So whether we want to acknowledge creation or evolution, it's evident by the creation it could never have evolved, right? I mean, I'm a creationist, right? And anytime something comes against creation, I discard it. And you'll be surprised how many people come against creation that call themselves Christians, that call themselves preachers, that call themselves saved, that call themselves Baptist. They come against the mere fact and simplicity of the creation. It took place in 6 days. And the seventh day God rested. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right? Actually, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and rested on Saturday. Sunday's the first day. But I don't think they had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday then. So who's to say which was the day was first? But it was 6 consecutive days. that God did the creation. And through that, just to look at that, to say that it happened in six simple days. You were created within that 6 days. The animals were created within that 6 days. You know, it could not have happened with a major boom. It just couldn't have happened. Right? And we couldn't have evolved over millions of years. You know, I'm not going to go into all that, but men still growing the same beard they did back then. Yeah, right? Women are still having babies the same way as they did back then. You know, there's nothing evolved about us, right? I don't believe in all that Neanderthal and all the other stuff, but anyways, I'm a creationist, and God has revealed himself in the creation. And in verse 21, after seeing the eternal power in Godhead, they did not put God in his rightful position in their life. They were unthankful for what God had created and became vain in their imagination. Say, where are you going with this? Well, this ties into commandment number two. Look at this. Look at verse 23. It says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You see, they changed God's image into a corruptible image. Who does? People that don't believe in the creation. People that don't acknowledge God in the creation. You can take it back. Anybody that says they don't believe in God, you know they don't believe in the creation. They believe in evolution. And they changed the image of God into a corruptible thing. And God's glory is uncorruptible. Look at that again in verse number 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. Right? God's glory is uncorruptible. And the minute you bring any kind of idols or anything like that into your worship or in your belief or whatever, you are now beginning to corrupt the image of God. He said, I am. And you shall have no other gods before me. See, when you have idols in your life, you're changing God's glory into the corruptible image. And look at the results of that. If you go down a little bit further, it wasn't part of my message, but wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make golden images. You shouldn't have any kind of images under the earth, under the heavens, any kind of statue, any kind of idol. And here they do. And because of that, they're turned over to their own reprobate mind. There's a consequence for that. There's a consequence for allowing idols in your life. In Joshua chapter 23, in verse number 7, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down or bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as he has done unto this day. You see, we're not even to mention the names of the false gods. And I've got in my notes here, you know, meaning that we should not say something like, oh, Mother Mary. Why? Because Mary is a false god in a religion. Right? And God tells us we shouldn't swear by the things of heaven or of the earth. But it's clear by this scripture that God doesn't even want us to talk about it. Why? Because if we're talking about it, it's on our mind. Right? That which proceedeth out of the mouth, what? Comes from the heart. You start talking about things long enough, you'll begin to dabble in it. I can remember when I was a kid, the Ouija board used to be a big thing. It probably is to many people today. We didn't think nothing about it. We moved back to Ohio, just, and we moved into my uncle's house, and he's a very stout Christian. My Uncle Elmer and my Aunt Lele, they were just dear to me. They're like mothers and fathers to me. And my Uncle Elmer saw that box, a Ouija board sitting right on top of it. He walked over to that thing. He lit the fireplace. He grabbed that thing and he threw it in the fire. He says, if you're going to stay in my house, you ain't going to have none of this. And my mom's like, oh, it's just a game. He says, no. Right? And so, I never dabbled with the Ouija board, really. Yeah, my brothers did. My brother and sister did. Some of the other, you know, family members did. But yeah, I didn't, you know, I just didn't even know, right? Just a kid, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. I was young. But you see, we're not even to mention the names of these idols. God doesn't want us thinking about it. He don't want it on our mind. He don't want it part of our conversation. Can I say that many jewelries today... Uh-oh, I better shut up. Many jewelry today symbolizes image of false gods and false worship. Yet Christians flaunt them as if it was no big deal. Now, I'm not going to go around and pick on people with jewelry. This is a self-examination. It's not somebody else's examination. It's not my job or Pastor Scott's job to examine. It's our job just to present the truth and let the Holy Spirit do His job. But I'm telling you now, when my wife gets new jewelry and stuff, she says, hey, look at this. I look at it. Oh, that's a flower. That's okay. I mean, but you know, a lot of jewelry. You look at the gothic, these kids today, the rings that they have on, the skulls and all this other stuff. You know, it's not good. It's not something that we want in our life, and it's not something that we should allow our kids to have in their life as long as they're under our roof. It's just something we shouldn't do. We should censor certain things. Here's what Matthew Poole says. Thou shalt not make either in thy mind or with thy hand, or by thy commandments. And he's referring to Acts chapter 17 and verse 29. If you want to go there, I'll read it to you. It says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that our Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art in man's devices. We're not even to think it. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, I don't want to pick on any one religion, but these prayer beads they have, you know, I mean, with a cross with Jesus on it. I mean, oh, you know, what were you thinking? Right? What were you thinking? I know, it's religious. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Let's look at John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24. John actually preached on this passage last Sunday night. Just happens to go along with what the message is tonight. It says, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, this passage is about how to worship. Not so much where to worship, but how we are to worship. And if you're going to worship God, how are you going to worship Him? Spirit and truth. There's no other way. Jesus is telling Mary there at the well that God is seeking, always has and always will seek those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now you can't, well we're going to, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can't worship God and have idols in your life. I'm sorry. It's contradicting. And we're going to get that. We're going to get scriptures in the New Testament to show that. The New Testament carries the same passage into it that was written back there in the law of God in Exodus. God is a never-changing God in a forever-changing world for us. And we're always trying to change the image of God to comply to the ways of the world. But He said, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto yourself, and I'm paraphrasing that one, any graven images. Philippians 3:3 reads this, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. You see, worship is spiritual, not physical. Right? It's all about the spiritual part of your life. People always say, oh, he's a spiritual man. Why? Well, that's a good thing, I think. I want to be spiritual. Because God seeks those to worship Him in spirit. Those that are spiritual. See, I cannot put flesh in my worship. Which means that no religious rituals. You know, temple worship was full of religious worship and rituals. And God's not impressed by that. He's not impressed with temple worship. And the Catholic Church has brought that into it. The Mormons have brought that into it. I could go down the list of those that bring temple worship into the church. And he said, no. You're going to worship me in spirit and in truth, or you're not going to worship me at all. It's not going to be an acceptable worship. Psalms chapter 145, verse 17 and 18. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. You're going to worship, in spirit and in truth. You can't worship with idols. You can't worship with religious rituals. Just doesn't work. We see it all the time. God, forgive me for that. See, truth brings the idea of honesty, sincerity, especially nothing false. We can't worship God flippantly or insincerely, right? You have to be sincere. We can't include anything into our worship, especially images or superstitious beliefs. Yes, this brings in superstition. And most sports players are superstitious. Now, I got to wear my game sock. Right? I got to have my hat a certain way. Right? I gotta have the same underwear on. You know, I could go into the superstitions. I played baseball, I played football, I played sports most of my life, my childhood life, that is. Even boxers, when they used to box, they had superstition, beliefs. Well, wait a minute. This is contradictory to what Scripture teaches us. Back to Exodus, but chapter 34. Like I said, there's no way I'm catching it all, so I'm going to bounce ahead a little bit. And I want to bring this same thought from Exodus chapter 34. And Exodus 34 explains things differently than chapter 20 in verse 4 through 6. See, from this passage, the first two commandments are interwoven. And we're going to see that. When Moses goes to the mount and brings a new set of tablets, and God writes on it with his finger the Ten Commandments, and God is explaining here to Moses. And he says in verse 9, and he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord. So he's talking to the Lord, and the Lord responds in verse 10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all of the people. I will do marvelous and such that have not been done. And he goes down to verse number 11. That's where I want to pick this up. He says, observe thou that which I, being God, command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. You see, God commands separation between his people and the people of the world. He commands it. It's not a request. It's a commandment. Look back in chapter 33 or 32. Let me see. Yeah, 33 verse 16. It says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Moses is asking God an honest, simple question. How are we to know that we have found grace in your sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? See, God had just told Moses, I'm going to send my angels and I'm not going to go before you. I'm not going to go with you. I'll send my angel, but I'm not going with you. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. and I know thee by name. But Moses asked a simple question. Isn't it that you go before us and that we separate ourselves from the world? You see, it comes into play with our worship. Let's go back to verse 12. Take heed to thyself. That means pay attention to what you do, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You see, God is going with us, is commingled with the idea that we separate ourselves from the lost people of this world. You want God to go with you? Separate. You want God to be in what you're doing? Separate. If you're not willing to separate, then how can you ask God to bless what you're doing? How can you ask God to go amongst you? How can you ask God to be with you? But God, I want to do this, but I want you to be with me. That's like asking God, just bless what I do. That's kind of flippant. Can I tell you, separation is expected, not requested. Your relationship with God is dependent upon your willingness to separate. Whether you want to believe that or not, that's what the Bible's telling us. How shall we know that you're going with us? And if you do, you know, we will separate. And God says in verse 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. You see, if we don't separate, it will become a snare unto us. If you're not willing to separate yourself from the lost and dying world, it will be a snare in your life. And I'm going to tell you, it will play out in your children. We see that because he says a little later on to the third and fourth generation. You want to hang with the world? You want to act like the world? You want to be like the world? It will play out in your children. Look at verse number 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. See, God is explaining the commandments to Moses. You see, a true believer, as true believers, we're commanded to utterly destroy false worship. Altars. You got false worship in your life? You need to get rid of it. Now, I believe in self-examination, and we're not under, you know, the, hate to say the dispensation that he's talking about here. I don't have a right to go to my neighbor's house and bust up his shrine that he has in his front yard. That's because our Constitution doesn't allow me to do that now, right? He has a right as well as mine. And so I have to be careful of that. I could do it in the name of God, and it might be right in God's eyes, but we're also against the law. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. You're kind of caught in a quandary there, right? But we're commanded to self-examine, and we're commanded to get rid of any kind of false worship in our life. As true believers, we should get rid of any idols that we may have in our house. Images. And I'm not talking about knickknacks. You got a Buddha sitting on your house someplace? You might want to get rid of it. Right? You got a statue of Mary in your house somewhere? You might want to get rid of it. There's a lot of things that I could name, and we could be here the rest of the night talking about what is false idols that many Christians have in their home and don't even think about it. You know, my mom, when I was a kid, used to have this dream catcher from the Indians. Huh? You think that's just innocent? No. That goes along with the false worship. That's part of their religion. Catches the dreams, the spiritual world. There's a lot of things that we just think is no big deal. And I'm going to tell you that we're not going to be winked at because we failed to investigate or we failed to acknowledge. Oh, that's not an idol to me. Okay. That's where you want to hold it. But God says to cut down, get rid of all the idols in your life. Get the idols out of your home. I can't go to your house and tear down the idols. When Mario and I was in California, one of the members there, one of the churches that we were staying at their house, and the mother and her mother and father had left, and they came to Mario and I, and they're talking to me specifically, and saying, "Man, I'm telling you, my mom has demons in her room, you know, and." She goes, and she's got these idols in their bedroom. I go in there and there's Mary. All the things at the Catholic Church, the little shrine. And she asked if we would get rid of it for her. We did not. I told them they had to do that. And I know they got rid of it. And I bet you there was a fight over it, too. But anyways, we need to get rid of idols. And as a true believer, we must, you know, get rid of or destroy anything that becomes our God. Maybe we need to sell our boat. Maybe we need to sell our car. Think about it. I know a lot of people stay home and wash their car on Sunday. Maybe we need to get rid of those old-time rock and roll records. You know, CDs with ungodly music. It's not okay to let anything hang around that has or can become a god in your life. I'm not allowed to leave things around my house that could turn into some sort of idol. In my life, if I have a tendency to slip that way, I need to know that, acknowledge it, confess it, and get rid of it. In verse number 14, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." So why are we supposed to do these things? Because thou shalt worship no other God. You see, because thou shalt not worship any other God, we must get rid of anything that can negatively influence our belief or worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. But yet he's talking about commandment two. You see how it's interwoven? You can't do away with one and not the other, right? You can't have one without the other. I think there's a song about that. But see, God is a jealous God, and he will not take second to anything. He'll take second to nothing. He wants to be first in your life, and he will not accept second place. And so sometimes that means we separate. Sometimes that means we destroy. Sometimes that means we offend. What does that look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? I've got to get rid of all the idols and false gods that are in my life. If I want my relationship to be right with God, that's a must. No option. In verse 15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. He's talking about the commandments here. And he says, you need to do this. Lest thou make a covenant. In other words, you just might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. And they go a-whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. A lot of meat here. And I'm not talking about sacrifice. The results of not getting rid of things that will get between you and God and hanging around lost people is simply compromise. Compromise. Was Pastor Scott talk about compromise? What's it bring? Right? It's first compromise. What was the next step? Right? First generation, second generation, and third generation. It's there. You see, it's compromise. And it will play out in your children. Make covenants with the results of not getting rid of can result in making covenants with ungodly people. Hey, Dad, I want to marry this guy. Oh, does he go to church? Nah, but he will later. How many times have you seen that? Now, the woman has more of an opportunity. Chance of getting the husband into church than the husband would the woman. I'm going to say that. But the woman has a lot more influence on us than we'll admit. But making covenants, it plays out in your children. If you're going to, parents, if you're going to compromise, your children will too. They were compromised by going out with somebody that wasn't saved. That's a compromise. Right? There should be standards. God said separate. It's not a wish thing. It's not a will you please. It's a commandment. Separate. And that goes along with commandment number one and commandment number two. You must separate. The results of not getting rid of things, you might go whoring after other gods. Allow things and decisions to cause you to bring idols and false gods into your life. You know, maybe it's the god of pleasure. You know, we all like to have fun. Us men like to hunt and fish. We love football. Rock'em sock'em boxing. You know, I mean, we like that stuff. But you know, it can be a hindrance too. See, you allow things and decisions to cause you to bring idols into your life. You might begin to sacrifice your family to the gods of those you're with. That's what God is warning us about here. I am the Lord thy God, and you shall have no other God before me. And what does that look like? It looks like separating. It looks like getting these things out of your life that might cause you to wander or influence your children negatively. You know, maybe it's the god of pleasure going to the lake on Sundays or take your children to a rock concert. Or maybe you teach or allow your children to dress immodestly. After all, these are the things that the crowd you run with are doing. Right? That's the crowd that I'm running with. That's what they're doing. So why not? It's okay for them. You see how they have a negative influence. It doesn't take long for you to, without being judgmental, figure out what's going on in a family's life by how things are played out in their children. Uh-oh. I'm sorry I said that, but it's the truth. John, being the youth pastor, probably could give us all kinds of stories. The root cause is usually compromised back here in the life of the family, of the parents. And I can prove that, but I'm not going to tonight. I'm trying to get through this last verse here. Maybe you begin to eat meat sacrificed to idols. After all, it's not a sin to eat meat sacrificed to idols, right? Can I say that God, with God, it's what it represents that matters to Him, and not the meat itself. It's what it represents. Where did that meat come from? Right? What's associated with it? See, it's okay to have acquaintances, but to make companions or friends of them is not acceptable to God. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6:14, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to close it right here because there's too much here. But I'm going to say in closing that the key of serving God is His way and have the fellowship with God that He wants us to have. This is what these commandments are all about. You want a proper relationship with God? Begin to study the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to tell you, it's convicting. And it will change your life forever if you haven't done it. It's easy to say, well, the pastor said this and the pastor said that. But you start going through the scriptures and you read those commandments and you begin to spot those commandments throughout the Bible, you're going to be surprised on how much of the Bible is surrounded by those commandments. And we're just on commandment number 2. Amen. So what? Are you willing to become separated from the world? It's a question you have to ask. Maybe you already are. This isn't a pick on Woodside Baptist Church people. But it's a self-examination. It's a time for self-examination. And every message should have a verdict. There should be a verdict. Are you willing to cut down the groves in your life? Are you willing to obey what God tells you to do? Your relationship with Him depends on it. Let's have a word of prayer and Pastor Scott will come. Our Father, we come to You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this message tonight is heavy. And I know it affects my life. And it affects the life of those around me. I pray, Lord, that You'll touch the heart of each and every one of us to obey. We thank You.